This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
So I think Albert mentioned that it's Palm Sunday today. Now, for those of you who don't know what that means, it's just like when Jesus came into Jerusalem. People were like throwing palms, and he was on the donkey, and they were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." And then some of the people said, "No, hello, you can't shout that." And Jesus said, "Well, if they don't, the stones will," right? And that's so beautiful. Like, God is not bothered by who's praising him, because he knows who he is. And that for me is just incredible. The same people a week later shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him." So this morning, it's amazing for us to say, "We praise you, Jesus, Hosanna in the highest," without having to say, "Crucify him," because we know he already died for us, which is crazy if you think about it. I'm not preaching about that. I know Albert was like, "Okay, maybe Marichan's going to preach about that." No, my message this morning is called Things to Remember in Times of Hardship. Okay, so I'm sure, is there anyone here who's never been through a hard time? Wow, okay. So I wanted to tell you it's coming. Okay, not in a bad way, but that is part of life. Okay, like we've all been through it. We've all gone through things that's really tough. Okay, some of us might feel like it's the worst thing when your cat dies. Like, I've got a sister like that. And that's a tough situation, you know, and it doesn't matter what was tough for you, okay? But we've all been through hard times in our lives. Okay, now there's one way of looking at it. Today we're going to remember things when we look at Timothy, the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, what Paul wrote to Timothy when he experienced a tough time, what he should remember. Okay, so we're going to look at that. But before we do that, I read this piece this week, and I want to share it with you. And I want to see if you agree with me. I think it's on the screen, the first slide. Yeah, okay. It says, "If Jesus Christ had advertised for workers, the announcement might have read something like this. Men and women wanted for difficult task of helping to build my church. You will often be misunderstood, even by those working with you. You will face constant attack from an invisible enemy. You may not see the results of your labor, and your full reward will not come till after all your work is completed. It may cost you your home, your ambitions, and even your life." Imagine that every Sunday when I do the altar call, I read this. You know, that Jesus came to die for us, but it means that you lay down your life, you know, in order to follow him. It's no longer about you. It's no longer about what you want. And I'm thinking the guy that wrote this, he commented on something that he read in the newspaper of someone making an advertisement saying, come, we're going to conquer some other country or something. It's going to be hectic. You're not going to get much pay. You might die. You know, it's like really this advertisement in a newspaper. And they said thousands of men responded to it. And that was so interesting for me. People are looking for that purpose, you know, that not just living this life, but there's something that I'm living for. Have you ever heard or seen people where they don't really have purpose? It's like they're struggling a bit, you know. I don't know about you. Even in a work situation, if you don't know what the purpose is, it's like, why am I doing this? You get so frustrated. Well, I'm like that. But when you know there's a purpose and there's a reason that I'm living and I'm going and I might die, you know, I don't know about you, but it does something to me. But often that's not the way we look at Christianity. Often the way we look at Christianity and about God is that it's about me. And if I don't feel good and if things doesn't go according to what I want and, you know, all those kind of things, then I get discouraged. Then I think of things like, if God is good, why is he doing this to me? When I forgot, it's not about me. It's about him. So that's what we're going to look at today. Okay, so be with me. We're going to read Paul. Now, Paul is a guy, what's the English again? Hy het die doekies omgedraai nie. Okay, so when you read the word and you just want to realize again who God is, go look at this guy, Paul. I mean, at small group this week, I can't remember, I think it was in 2 Corinthians 1, we talked about how Paul said he despised of his own life because it was going so bad. This Paul, this amazing guy, said he despised of life because it was going so bad. So I just want to say to you, when we feel like that, even Paul felt like that, okay? So it's not a bad thing to feel like that. But he also wrote this piece to Timothy to say, how should you react? Or what should you remember when you go through those things? Okay, let's get to the scripture. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 to 7. He says, share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Now, Paul was writing this while he was sitting in a dungeon about to be executed for his faith. Okay, so it's not like he's writing this from a nice place and, you know, Timothy, you might suffer and just remember this. No, this guy is really in a place of suffering. Persecution. They say they don't even know if there was a, you know, light or anything. And he probably wrote, he didn't write this, but probably spoke it to someone who wrote the letter for him that came to visit him. Okay, great. So what can we learn here today? The first thing, remember the soldier. Okay, so when you're going through tough things, that might be for your faith, but it can also be like in general things in life. Remember the soldier. That's easy to remember, right? Remember the soldier. Okay. It says, share in suffering. So it actually says, share with me, share with the believers, share in this hardship of suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. First thing to remember when you think of a soldier is, we are in a fight. Okay? We tend to forget that. We as believers are in a fight. If we see ourselves as soldiers, it means like there's a fight. Okay? Except if you're in South Africa, you don't fight against anything. But other countries, if you're soldiers, there's a fight. Okay? I think in difficult times, we forget that. Okay, because things get tough, right? So you're like, oh, so overwhelmed by everything that goes on. You forget that there's actually a fight. There's an enemy. Okay, there's an enemy who with everything wants to get you to not trust in God, to not follow God anymore. So when we go through tough times, we must remember to stay in that place of prayer. Because we're not going to fight our enemy with our hands. Sometimes I wish I could. You know, but we're going to fight our enemy with our prayers, with what we declare, with how we pray. What is this one guy, John Piper, he said, sometimes Christians pray, they use it as an intercom to call someone to come and help them. He said, but that's not what prayer is. Prayer is not an intercom to bring what I need. Okay? We sometimes pray like, Lord, I need this, Lord, I need that, Lord, do that, do that. It's like a maid that we're calling. Come and do this for me. That's not prayer. Prayer is more like a hokey-tokey. Is that the right word? Hokey-tokey. Yeah, hokey-tokey. Sounds funny. It's more like a hokey-tokey where you call in more, you know, people to come and fight. More people to come and take on the battle. That prayer is amazing. I don't know if you've been in that prayer where you're like, God is showing you pictures and you're going here and you're saying, no, that will not happen. You know, and you're fighting these things, but it's also a fight in your mind. We talked about it in small group this week. When stuff is going hard, it almost seems like all the temptations and things in this world get small. Because the enemy is not going to be like, poor Erica. She's really going through a tough time. I should leave her alone for now. No, no, no. When she's done, he's going to come with like this and this and this and this. And she must remember, this is a fight. I need to say, I don't believe that. Stop in the name of Jesus. I am not a failure. I am not, you know, stepped on. God is not against me. He's not doing these things because he hates me or because I did something wrong or stuff like that. You say, no, it stops. We must remember we're in a fight. But second point, we must remember that we are not the general, you know, in this army. When we're a soldier, we are not the general. I see you have all the points. Well done. I can't even surprise you with a point. You have it all. Okay. So we are not the general. What does that mean? I joined the army in a few years back. I'm not going to say when because then you all know how old I am. And there, when you do your basic training, they like make you do things that you are like, why in the world should we fill this dam with a teaspoon of water standing in a row during the night hours? You know, because you come with your little teaspoon full of water and now you have to fill the dam. And then the next person, and then the next person. And you're like, this is ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. But the thing is, they are training you to listen to them, to do whatever they say. Because when you are in a war situation, you can't be like, this doesn't make sense, I'm not going to do it. Right? Then you have to listen to the general, or, well, I didn't ever saw the general, but the, whoever's in charge of you, when they say, two steps left, now you move. You don't ask questions. You're not like, no, but I've got an opinion now, or this doesn't suit me at this moment, or this is not what I'm feeling in my heart. Mm-mm. We shouldn't move left. You know? No, we must remember that God is a general. And the generals say things because they see it in a different view than we do. We just see here, this little piece here, and we're like, uh-uh, this is not working. But God, who is the general, see everything. And in times when we're suffering, we must remember that. It's so easy to be like, mm-mm, you know, I'm just going to do my own. But it's so much more rewarding when we do what God is directing us to do. Do you agree? You're very quiet, but it's okay. Then, see, don't get entangled. Okay, so Paul actually said, don't get entangled with the civilian, stuff. Okay, so when I am in war and I'm running, I'm not going to be like, sorry guys, I first need to fix my nails. You know, your nails is going to be the last thing on your mind when you're a soldier there, okay? When you're in the battle, or when you know that you're a soldier for Jesus Christ, it's that verse that says, first seek the kingdom. And all the other things will be added to you. Then go and first seek the other things. You know what also happened? If I'm a soldier running, I'm not going to be like, hey, I'm making some money here on the side. Don't you want to trade with me? And it's all about the money, and I'm not focusing first on what I'm doing. Okay, so first seek the kingdom. Don't get entangled with other things. Now, that also means don't get entangled with just what I want. Okay, so another military story. So when we did training in the bush, okay, we had to shoot the enemies. Okay, we had real guns, but we're not allowed to shoot with real guns. Ammunition, thanks. We went like this, tap, 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 it was. But anyways, it was intense. So they taught us that they'll shout, enemy, okay? And when they shout enemy, you have to dash. That's the first thing. So now you have to run like this, because now if the enemy starts shooting, they can't hit you at the target. Then you dash, then you fall, okay? You fall, and then you roll, and then you crawl, and then you aim, and then you shoot. That's a whole thing. I'm so glad I could teach you how to do it, okay? But what we did the first time, they said, fall. We went down like this, slowly, you know, because it's like hard ground. You're not going to fall there, you know. What are they silly? So they had to train us, because all we thought of is like, I'm not going to fall in this hard ground. It's not even, I might fall in a dish, you know. It's like, you just ran and now I have to fall. So it was hilarious when they said fall the first time, because we all slowly went down. You know, like, then we're dead by that time. So we're thinking about us. So they had to teach us, don't get entangled with the things of this life, of the things that the flesh wants, and put your focus on there. If there's an enemy and you have to fall, you fall. We did great. I just wanted to say. Okay, that's why I still have marks on my arms. Number D, the aim is to please the general. I think when we're going through tough times, and this happened to me a few weeks ago when I got home and we just, stuff happened, and I said to Derek, okay, I'm just I'm not going to sleep now. I'm just going to spend some time with God because so much emotions, and this is really a tough thing to go through. And I was praying. I was like, Lord, why am I so upset? And why is my heart like this? And God said to me, it's not about the people. You focusing on what the people want when it's about pleasing me. And what does that mean? We often, when we want to please people, it's not like we just want to please them for them to feel better. It's often, what do they think about me? Right? If I want to please people, it's important for me to know, what does people think about me? Maybe something happened and I made the right decision, but it's so difficult because I'm the whole time thinking, what does people say? And God said to me that evening, stop thinking about what people are thinking. Start thinking about how you can please me. And it's difficult in tough situations, but if you get that mind shift, like, wow, it's like freedom, because no longer am I here to please the people, I'm pleasing the general. I'm going to please the guy next to me, I'm going to please the general. And when I please him, the good will work out for the guy next to me, right? Okay, good, I can see you're still with me. Then E, you are never alone in the battle. Very important for us to remember. Yes, Jesus is with us. Holy Spirit is with us, leading us all the time. But more than that, there's always believers. We're fighting this thing together. You know, who was it that contacted me this week? Oh, a friend of mine contacted me and said, yo, it's going tough. Please pray. I need your prayers. And I was so glad when I spoke to her afterwards. I said to her, I'm so glad you let me know. Because we mustn't fight these things on our own. God made us believers to come together, to fight these things together, to stand together, to pray for one another. You know, if you need help, to say, yo, I need your help here. Okay. And sometimes when we're going through hard times, we actually think we're the only ones going through hard times. Okay, but that's also not true. The Bible says there's believers everywhere who are suffering for the name of Jesus. And also when we look at Elijah, when he was feeling sorry for himself, he's like, I'm the only prophet and I'm dying. And God said to him, my brother, there's 7,000 more that I've set apart to be my prophets. Okay, so oftentimes when we're in hard places, we must remember we're not the only ones going through hard things. The other evening, I was walking across the road, and there was this lady, and I was so focused on something going on, and the next moment, my eyes opened to her, and I was like, yo, she looks tired. She looks like she's going through a very, very difficult time. And I just realized I was so focused on just me that I almost didn't see this woman that's also going through a tough time, and I could just pray for her and ask God to be with her. Okay, so you have the soldier things, right? Sorted. Athlete, here we come. I'm going to use Cornay as an example. Thanks, Cornay. Okay, 2 Timothy 2:5. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. First point, you do not become godly by accident. Okay. Yes, we come to Christ through his grace, his mercy, his love, through faith. But to move from there, to grow, to walk in what God has given us, you know, to get rid of the things that we get entangled in, takes work, like an athlete. You know, if Cornay is going to compete in the Ironman thingy now on the 2nd of June, okay, you all heard that, so you all have to pray for her and cheer her on. Thanks for my advertisement on free, for free. She has to train. She can't be like, it's God's grace, I'm going to do it. She's going to God grace boom on the floor, you know, because she has to train. She has to set time apart. She has to cycle. She has to swim. She has to jog. She has to compete in other stuff. If we are athletes, we have athletes in like God's army, we also have to do things, right? We actually also have to read the word. We actually also have to pray. We actually have to be part of community. The church now, we're going to do courses starting in May or June, where we're going to do intense discipleship with people. You know, where we're going to work with hard stuff, with unforgiveness. We're going to do deliverance stuff, where we're going to get people to come and teach us things. Why? Because we need to work at growing in our godliness. God wants this for us. He doesn't want us just to stay there at the same place. But for us to move and to grow, we actually have to learn. We actually have to set time apart to pray. We actually have to set time apart, say, for a small group or whatever it is, or my quiet times. Does it make sense? It's important for us to remember, especially in difficult times, my godliness is not going to happen by accident. I'm not going to make the right decisions by accident. Okay? I actually have to sit in that place where I seek God, where I ask Him. And He's not always going to be like, Carla, the answer is this. You know, it's not always going to be like that. But because I am there seeking Him, He's going to make me walk. He's going to lead me in the right direction. Does it make sense? Good. Second point. Actually, I have other stuff here also, but let's leave that. You must compete according to the rules of God's word. Okay. We forget that sometimes. Because we are saved through grace, by grace through faith, we think we can just now do whatever we want. God is gracious. His love covers all my sins. And yes, that is true. But if I'm an athlete, and I'm going to use Cornelia again, if she's going to compete, she just told me, there's so many rules that she has to stick with. Otherwise, she gets disqualified, you know. And we do it so easily in the world. In our work, there's certain stuff that we have to do, and we do it. Otherwise, we get fired. Ask Carla, she works with it a lot, you know. So there's certain things that we have to stick with. We just know that. Then it comes to God's word, and then we just want to do whatever we want. And God must still bless me. And God must still pour things over me. But I didn't stick to what God said I should do, okay. Doesn't say like, okay, what's God saying now? What must I do now? No, because I'm full of His word, because I spend time in His word, He directs me and I step into that. If God says to me, pray for your enemies, I'm not going to hit them, right? Because that will have bad consequences. So whenever God gives us direction, regulations, I almost want to say in His word, advice, His truth, it's not because He's like, yeah, because I don't want you to do this and this. No, it's because this is the best for you. Like Stephen said, honor your mother and your father. It's not because God's like, He's out to get you. It's because He knows that it's the best for you. Okay? Like, for instance, when you do stuff that is not according to God's word, yes, He forgives. He's gracious. But you must remember, there's always consequences to what we do. You know? If you sleep with someone before you get married, okay? It doesn't happen with everyone, but there's a chance that you will be pregnant. Will God forgive you because you committed fornication? Yes, of course, because He loves us and He's gracious. Is the child going to disappear? No. You'll have to raise this child. Can God use what the enemy has meant for evil for good? For sure. Is the child going to disappear? I'm here. Okay? No. But we must remember, like when I was a child, I said last week, I was the best liar. I could lie so well, guys. You know? Now, I'm struggling. But anyways, my lies had consequences. God doesn't say don't lie for no reason. There's a reason why I must stick to His word, because He's protecting me. He's leading me in the right ways. Doesn't make sense. Okay, enough examples. The last one, remember the farmer. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crop. Okay, so the first point here is, it will take some hard work. Okay, especially when we're going through tough times. It's not easy to follow God's word. I mean, there's times where you're like, I want to take a shortcut here. You know, or I'm rather going to do this now. I know I shouldn't. I've done that many times. I know I shouldn't do this now. But, you know, it's just so much hard work. Okay? When you're a farmer, you have to work. You know, if that crops need to come up, you have to, what do you call it? Ploeg. plow the ground. You have to sow the seed. You have to water it. You have to go and oos it. You know, it's a whole story. You have to pray for the right weather. You know, it's not just going to happen by accident. There's hard work involved. You know, that's the same in any situation. You know, for me as a believer, it will take some work. I think we sometimes just think it's just a jolly good fellow ride type of thing. But it takes some commitment. It takes some hard work. It takes some, when the thoughts come to mind, to say, stop. Not welcome here. You know, that sometimes is the hardest work, to tell your thoughts, stop thinking about those things. Focus on the word, or focus on what God has told you to do. But it will take some hard work. Okay. I don't think we preach that enough in the church these days. Okay, because people, it's all about what's the most comfortable for me. But sometimes we have to get, if you want to get somewhere in life, you have to work at it. Same for us as Christians. And especially when it's going tough, it seems like it's just harder to work at it. Then there is a reward. That's amazing. You know, so yes, it's hard work, and yes, we have to put in a lot of hours, and yes, sometimes you're going to do things like, you know, for my uncle and them, they have to get up every morning so early in the morning, you know, but in the end, there is a reward. Is it always fun to get up early? No, you know, except if you're in Durban and the sun comes up and you can go serve like Yannicka, then it's fun, but mostly it's not fun to get up early in the morning. But then in the end of the day, there is a reward. There's a crop. Or there's the milk that you got from the cows. Or whatever farming you're doing. There's some meat that you can get. And for us, especially as believers, there's a massive reward. Okay? For now, sometimes we don't even see the reward. But one day, we will definitely see it. When Jesus comes back and he says to us, well done. Good and faithful servant. I think we all want to hear that. I want to hear that. And what did God say? You've been faithful in the little, and I will make you ruler over much. There's a reward. Sometimes we get stuck in our circumstances, in our hardships, and the things going on here, and we forget that it's not about now. Not about just what's happening to me now. There's an eternity. And even if it doesn't make sense, my circumstances doesn't make sense, I don't know why God is doing this. One friend of mine, it's just like, it seems like everything at this moment is going wrong. It literally, there's not a thing that doesn't seem like it doesn't want to go right. And for her, for now, to be like, Lord, I don't trust in what I see. I'm not going to put my hope in what I see now, because I know you as general, you're busy with something bigger. I'm putting my eyes on you. And as we sang this morning, I'm going to praise you no matter the circumstances, because I know you still rule. I know you're still in control. I know you still have the best plan. It might hurt now. It might really suck, if I can use that word. But I'm going to trust. Now, I love what Paul writes to Timothy just before that. 2 Timothy 2 verse 1. He said, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So he started this whole story about the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer, not saying get yourself together, you know. So I'm not telling us today we must just get it together. He said, no, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, what is he saying? He's saying, I know you can't do it. I know you can't entangle yourself from the worldly stuff. I know that you can't keep to the rules always. I know that you struggle to do that and that. But what I'm saying to you is that you can do it through Christ Jesus. You know what's the best part? Is when we come to Jesus and say to him, I cannot. Lord, I cannot do it. And God can work with us. I think a few weeks ago we spoke about that. How God was just waiting for the Pharisees to say, that we don't know, so that he could tell them the truth. But because they were like so full of themselves that they know, they could never hear or receive from Christ. So we need to come to that place where we say, I actually cannot do this. I don't know how. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know if I can make it through this thing that I'm going. But Jesus, that's why I need you. That's why I need to be strong in your grace, not in my abilities or my thinking or my circumstances. Okay, let's close our eyes. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning, and we thank you, Lord, that your word always brings life. Father, thank you, Lord, that you are always interested in the best for us. And even when our circumstances or our relationships or things in our lives, Lord, doesn't make sense, Lord, even when it's really not going well, Father, that we can know that your plans are higher. That we can know, Father, that you say you make all things work to good for those who love you. And that we can know, Father, that we are not living for today. We're not here for ourselves, Lord, but there's a greater purpose. So this morning, Father, we ask that you will help us. Lord, at that place where we cannot, we ask Jesus that you will help us. That we will not depend on ourselves. We will not depend on our circumstances. We will not depend on our government, Lord. But we depend on you. We seek our help from you. We get our strength from you. Because you're the only one who gives to us. You're the only one who provides more than what we can ever know or understand, Father. And Lord, I pray for people here today that's really going through a difficult time. I pray for people that feel like they want to give up, that says, this is not fair. And I pray, Lord, for your grace to cover them. I pray, Father, for all of us to see that you know, that you are not distant, Lord, that you're not busy with something else and you forgot about us, Lord, but that you are working. I pray, Father, for strength. Lord, that doesn't come from ourselves, Lord, but come from you, that enables us to do so much more. And Lord, we know, Lord, that in the end, it's for your glory. It's for your glory, Jesus. I pray, Father, for people today to see. I just feel God wants to show you something. Some of you are going through very difficult times at the moment, but I feel that God says he's going to show you something. There's light. So thank you, Jesus, for showing people the light in the darkness. Thank you, Lord, this morning for showing people things that they didn't see before that you are busy doing. Father, thank you, Lord, that we can praise you for those things that you are busy with. You're just showing like little pieces, not the big picture, just little pieces that we can be thankful for day in different circumstances. And thank you, Lord, that we can hold on to that truth, to what you're doing, to what you want to establish for who you are. Oh, Lord, we praise you for that.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.